following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Norm Miller here, chairman of Interstate Batteries. Not to sound greedy, but when I heard auto technicians preferred Interstate Batteries 5-to-1 over any other battery, I wondered why that one didn't prefer us too. Don't get me wrong now, 5-to-1 is pretty darn good, but 6-to-none would be better. So if that one is listening out there, hey, give me a call. Maybe we can do lunch. To find the dealer near you that prefers us, head to InterstateBatteries.com. Interstate Batteries, outrageously dependable.
Hey, Golden.
Yes, Greeny.
I was just on CapitalOneCup.com checking the Capital One Cup standings.
Oh, yeah? Who's in the lead now?
UCLA is up on the women's side after winning the volleyball championship and a top 10 finish in soccer.
Ah, way to go, Bruins. Who's leading on the men's side?
Tight race. Alabama, North Dakota State, North Carolina. Three-way tie after the fall championships.
Wow. So with two more seasons of college sports, it sounds like any school could make a run at the trophy and a combined $400,000 in scholarships.
That's right. Don't forget, fans can vote for the Capital One Cup Impact Performance of the Week at ESPN.com/Capital One Cup.
Live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth, it's the Doug and Daddy Show.
Lock up the young talent. And with Alex Gordon having his breakout year, you got Hosmer, you got Moustakas. Those three guys have got to be locked up for a long-term deal.
You're tuned in to Central Nebraska's favorite sports talk show.
We review everything that's kind of close when they score a touchdown. Well, how do we not review everything that's kind of close when it's not ruled a touchdown? I don't understand. These idiots in the booth are getting paid a lot of money to mess things up.
Pro, college, high school, they cover it all for you.
Of all the people that can win in golf, if you're not in the top five in tennis, you're just absolutely out.
You always find on the hard courts, Australia and the U.S., where the big boys seem to come through. Now, you play a little bit on the grass, or especially the clay, then all of a sudden you have a clay court specialist.
Let's head to the show right now, only on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on National Letter of Intent Signing Day, the first day of February. What else is going on? Good Lord. John Tallman, Husker Online. It's been a good morning already for the Huskers. Mitch Sherman's going to join us here in just a couple of minutes. He is on the road. Where's he at, Daddy?
He's covering somebody by the name of Doriel Green Beckham, some 6 foot six, 220-pound wide receiver that runs a 2.27 40-yard dash in Springfield, Missouri is where he is.
And he'll be joining us here in just a couple of minutes. Also, Spencer Lindsay getting ready to sign his letter of intent up at Kearney High School. Then he will join us. He is going to be a future Husker. We'll also get Brady Bonzel squeezed in here with our Loper link on today's program. So it's all coming up. But Nebraska's 2-for-2 this morning on their commitments or on the kids that could have made a decision to go to Nebraska. Aaron Curry and then Alonzo Moore did pick Nebraska. So Moore is rolling in.
Yeah, that was good news for the Huskers. They got things started about 7:45 when Mr. Curry announced his decision to come, and then that followed up. But everybody is waiting for Andres Pete to make the commitment. Everybody assumes, with his brother being part of the program, with his cousin being part of the program, he will be in. That will be held at 12:30 today.
Yep,
on ESPNU. So
Brian Munson surprised a little bit yesterday, Alonzo Moore. But again, then you look at all this. We were competing, Nebraska was, with Louisiana Tech, Northwestern State. Mississippi State was on the radar early. So, I don't know, maybe Moore's fifth out of these five guys for importance. I guess I just don't know. Yeah, nobody's going to know.
That's the deal. When will you know? 3 years from now, and everybody's a hype day, but really, you take a back seat. And you know what? Let's celebrate the Spencer Lindsay's going to, you know, Lincoln and getting a chance to kick for the Huskers. People like that as
Sam
well.
Sam Foltz, Riker 5, Garrett Johns, preferred walk-ons. Also a big day for Drew Ott, Mike Schaaf. And it's not just guys today, but there's plenty of great athletes.
That's, you know, across Nebraska today, that's what people are getting on these message boards for. That's why John Tallman's going to break it all down for you.
He was down there at Austin Curry signing today, and so we'll get the very latest from him on the Doug and Daddy Show. First thing I did, though, this morning, after Curry signed, I immediately went to Huskers.com and ordered my spring game tickets.
Why would you not? That excitement, you've got to be a part of. Be a part of the 79,000 fans that will take part in the spring game.
It is April 14th. Reserve tickets are now $10. You used to walk in for free or pay $3 for some reason. But Nebraska fans, at Huskers.com, 1-800-8-BIG-RED, as we get ready for the spring game that is coming up on April the 14th. Got a lot more to talk about. We'll squeeze in everything that we can, but it is National Letter of Intent signing day.
We welcome into the Doug and Daddy Show Mitch Sherman, formerly from the Omaha World Herald, now a senior writer for ESPN.com. He follows the national recruiting scene as well as anyone does out there. Mitch, how are you this morning?
Good, Tony. How you doing?
Well, we're good, good. You've got an interesting assignment today. Your number one overall prospect that was unsigned, you were at his signing this morning. How did that go?
Well, it went well if you're a Missouri Tiger fan. I'm in Springfield, Missouri at Hillcrest High School, where Doriel Green Beckham is the number one receiver in the country and number one uncommitted player before today's signing day. And he had his choice of schools at the end. It came down to Missouri and Arkansas. Texas, Oklahoma, and Alabama were also in the mix. And 6'6", 225-pound Doriel Green Beckham, he looks like he's ready for the NFL right now, but he's going to spend a few years at the University of Missouri first.
Mitch, Missouri's class is right around where Nebraska's class is. I'm interested when your first year on the job, how Nebraska is being perceived across the country.
Nationally, I don't think that Nebraska's got a huge amount of notice. Now, that could change this afternoon. In about, 2 hours here, Andrews Pete from Tempe, Arizona, the offensive tackle, he's ranked number 10 nationally overall as among any players. Right at the top of offensive tackles, he's going to decide between Nebraska and Stanford. And if Andrews Pete picks Nebraska, he'll immediately vault to the top of the list as Nebraska's most high-profile recruit, as you guys know. And I think that would help. That would help the visibility of Nebraska's class. But really, in the end, that doesn't matter. I mean, it matters today on signing day, and we'll remember it for a few weeks, maybe a few months. But when these guys make the difference in a program, that you don't remember what kind of a recruit they were. As long as Nebraska feels that it fills the needs that it wanted to do in this recruiting period, then that's what's important. And I do see in trying to catch up on some stuff that's involving the Huskers this morning that it looks like they scored with a couple of guys, and Aaron Curry and Alonzo Moore. So that's always nice, and I think that's a bonus because it's hard for Nebraska, I think, more so than a lot of schools, to get guys on signing day. You know, usually on signing day it comes down to things that we heard this morning with Doriel Green Beckham, like being close to home. And if Nebraska doesn't get the majority of its commitments, you know, back in November and December when guys are making those officials to campus, it becomes a little bit more of a tenuous situation. So for Nebraska to get a couple guys and hopefully for them a few more this afternoon, that's just a bonus on this signing day.
Mitch, was there one part about the recruiting process when you first took the job that you didn't know or didn't fully understand as you get to meet some of these, or a lot of ESPN top 150?
Yeah. I think I understood, and I knew what it was like to be in the spotlight as one of the absolute highest-rated players out there. But every year, I think this thing gets more intense and probably a little bit more ridiculous than the past. And Doriel Green Beckham, don't get me wrong, he's probably one of the best high school players to come out of the United, you know, out of anywhere in high school football in years. And people have labeled him as that. It's not all hyperbole when you talk about a guy like this. But the amount of attention that these players receive, it gets crazy. It's a lot for an 18-year-old to handle. And for the most part, the guys who were at the top, and there are definitely examples of guys who don't do this, who fall outside this category, but most of the guys, and the one I'm covering today is included in that group, handle it exceedingly well for someone who's 18 years old. To have literally 25 to 30 TV cameras here today, I mean, there were more TV cameras here for Doriel Green Beckham's decision than Gary Pinkel will have in front of him at any press conference he stages next year in the Southeastern Conference, and that's a little bit out of whack. That's kind of a off kilter, I would say, and it's surprising to me that these guys do as well as they do at handling that kind of pressure, that kind of attention, that kind of interest. So I would say of all the things that I've learned about this this business over the last year when I've been with ESPN, that ranks near the top.
Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Recruiting Nation. I'm interested, Mitch. A, how many of these kids that are signing today, that top prospects, would you estimate you've talked to? And then follow that up with, you're the coach. Of everybody you've talked to, who's impressed you the most?
I've talked to, a good handful of the, our top 150 is the group that we highlight. And I was at the Under Armour All-America game in practices in late December, early January, before the game on ESPN. I believe it was on January 5th. So I talked to a large number of players out there at practice, and then a number of others from a few of the camps and combines that I covered, and just going across the country to visit some of these guys, like Doriel Green Beckham, where I am now. I was here previously in August to do a story about him and his family and the situation that he came from to become a top recruit. And what was your question about?
I just wondered, of all these kids, on the video with Griffey's kid. I just wondered who impressed you the most. I mean, as Devaney said, I want football players, but I want smart kids too.
Yeah, well, different kids impress you for different reasons. I would say to name two or three. I did like Griffey's kid. I think he's a steal for Arizona. This was a guy who was not recruited by many schools at all. Transferred to the high school that he attends or that he's going to graduate from before his senior year, teamed up with Nick Patty, who's going to be a quarterback at Boise State, just a real under-the-radar, undersized kind of guy, but he could get Griffey the ball where he needed it. We know he's got the athleticism in his genes for sure. Watching his father and his grandfather and even others in that family have been great athletes too, as I learned in reporting that story. He impressed me from a personal point of view. This was a kid who had every reason to have a big head because of his name, and he did not. Doriel Green Beckham impressed me for sure for the reasons that I mentioned, just because he handled the attention with the grace that he did. Another guy is Jameis Winston, quarterback out of Hueytown, Alabama. He's ESPN's number one rated quarterback and is not signing today because he's playing in an international U.S. versus the world high school football game in Austin, Texas. I believe he's going to sign on Friday. Long committed to Florida State, but it looks like Stanford has recently entered the picture as he got admitted academically to Stanford and would be a pretty intriguing replacement for Andrew Luck next year if he was able to compete and win that job as a true freshman. That's a tall task, but there are a few guys out there who I would give an opportunity to do that. But Jameis Winston, because of his makeup, because of his athleticism, I think is somebody who could be on the center stage as a first year player at the quarterback position, and that's if he doesn't choose baseball. He's kind of in that maybe not quite the same caliber in that Bubba Starling mold, and that he's probably going to be a high pick in the baseball draft in June. So lots of options for that player.
Gunnar Keel's another national quarterback out there that garnered a lot of attention, decommitting from a couple schools. Can you fault a kid that highly recruited to decommitting, Mitch?
I can't fault him, no. I noticed I didn't mention him as among the guys who impressed me the most. And it wasn't that I was unimpressed with him. He handled this thing probably like most 17- or 18-year-old kids would, and he felt the pressure early on to commit to his in-state school where his brother played at Indiana, got caught up in the momentum of there being a new coach, Kevin Wilson, in town in Bloomington. He's from just down the road in Columbus, Indiana. And I spent some time with Gunnar this summer at his house, and, I mean, he comes from an extremely down-to-earth family. There have been athletes, lots of athletes in the family. His uncle, Blair Keel, was a quarterback at Notre Dame, played in the NFL. His father, Kip, played college football, two brothers ahead of him who were quarterbacks at the Division I level. So he had everything set up for him, and it was tough for him to handle that situation. So he switched, went to LSU, was set to enroll at LSU as the semester started in January, and then backed out of that, and now he's at Notre Dame. So I don't fault the kid for doing that, because once you get to school, once you take that first class, set foot on campus, sign that letter of intent, in the cases of the guys today who start school next August, once you do that, all the power goes to the college. They essentially own you. If you want to leave, you've got to sit out. Until that time, that's the only point in your career as a prospect or a student athlete in college, that you have the power. It's your decision, and these kids have to go where they feel most comfortable. I don't think that Indiana or LSU, when it all comes down to it, wants a kid on their campus competing for a spot in their program at the quarterback position who's not comfortable with their school when everything comes down to it. So wherever he decides, wherever he signs at the end, as long as he's comfortable with it, then I don't fault the kid at all.
Bubba Starling, forgot about that kid. Anyway, last question for Mitch Sherman is he's getting ready to do his interview there of ESPN.com. Mitch, I'm just curious, is there any other program in the country? There are 18 preferred walk-ons that are coming to Nebraska today, and there may be more. Is there any other program in the country that has anything like that?
No, it's unique. Always has been pretty unique in Nebraska. I think other schools will do that too on a much lesser scale. And I would imagine there will be more. Usually Nebraska is not able to announce all of the entire walk-on class until those kids get admitted to school. So, I mean, I'd expect you're going to see in the 20s without having any firsthand knowledge of it. That's just what my experience in covering that would tell me. So, yeah, it's unique. You guys know, everybody who's listening knows the track record of what that does for the Nebraska program. Nebraska's not Nebraska without that walk-on program, and it's a day to look at those guys and celebrate those guys too, because they have a huge, huge role in making Nebraska what it is.
Mitch Sherman, senior writer for ESPN.com. Mitch, enjoy the rest of the day. We know you're busy. Thanks for fitting us in.
Absolutely, anytime. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Mitch. Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com, Recruiting Nation. Of course, if you're up on the websites today, you can find his work as well. And all of our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show, taken care of by our friends at BK. Two locations in Kearney, next to Walmart at 56th Street and 2nd Avenue. Also near Kearney Cinema at 8th Street and 3rd Avenue. Lexington Cozad at North Platte. Try the BK Topper, the new fries. There's something there to tempt everyone's taste buds. Someone that has decided not to come to Nebraska, though, Daddy, just as we wrapped up here with Mitch Sherman, looks like Devian Shelton, no surprise, he has chosen Southern California, USC.
Yeah, you know, one of those schools comes to you from your backyard, tough to say no. So he's out. The 14 known commitments that Nebraska had pretty much is surely locked up, that they weren't wavering on. Avery Moss now in per scout.com. They were waiting on that commitment as of a little bit ago. Scouts now is telling it Avery Moss's letter of intent is in the athletic office in Lincoln. They're waiting on Thomas Brown, a linebacker out of Gardena, California.
If you're from the West Coast, right, you're probably not going to have your letter of intent in necessarily quite yet. If you're on the East Coast or Central Time Zone, you're probably going to have that in by now. But again, the big announcement, Andres Pete, which 70-75% is the what everybody that is covering this on a daily basis and a minute-by-minute basis is saying. That comes up on ESPNU at 12:35, Nebraska, Stanford, USC, and then Vincent Valentine shortly after that at 1 o'clock. Anything out of that after that would not be a big commit, according to the services, and would be a little bit of a surprise. We'll take a break here on the Doug and Daddy Show. We've got a lot more to talk about after this.
When you're ready to save money, at Wells Fargo, we're with you. With our exclusive Way to Save savings account, you can save money automatically. Every time you use your debit card to make a purchase or pay a bill with Wells Fargo Online Bill Pay, $1 is transferred from your Wells Fargo checking account to your Way to Save account. You can also set up recurring daily or monthly transfers to save even more money fast. Call, click, or stop by today. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC.
Buffalo, New York is known as the birthplace of buffalo wings, but now there's a new buffalo in town. From Tabasco, the people who perfected hot sauce. For people who want a thicker buffalo sauce, one that sticks to wings better, with just the right amount of heat, and adds that classic buffalo flavor to burgers, sandwiches, and more. For our kind of people, who know a better hot sauce when they taste it. Introducing the Tabasco of Buffalo-style sauces. New, now available in Buffalo and a store near you. Tabasco, are you one of us?
For physical rehab, many times therapeutic pool exercises are prescribed. But here's the problem. You have to get wet. With the new anti-gravity therapy treadmill at Family Physical Therapy, you can still get the low-impact benefit of a pool, but you stay dry, and your therapist can closely watch your progress, and you can't fall. Used by Walter Reed Hospital and the U.S. Olympic team, the Alter-G anti-gravity treadmill is something you need to talk to your doctor or therapist about. Or call Family Physical Therapy for a free demonstration. Log on to alterg.com to see a video.
asked my husband if I can join his fantasy league this year. He just laughed. Little did he know, I've been going to Cunningham's Journal for lunch every week, the perfect place for sports fans like myself to keep up with my favorite teams, and not to mention the food is so good. Anyways, a fantasy spot opened up, and guess who's laughing now? And winning. If you're an ultimate sports fan, enjoy a good lunch, a drink with friends, and live entertainment. The place to be is Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney.
About 80 years before the seeds for the trees that produce the lumber that they sell now were even planted, Mead Lumber was born in Nebraska. Like the trees, Mead Lumber locations have sprouted all over. The latest is just east of Kearney. Contractors will appreciate veteran lumberman Ron Frederick and his decades of experience in problem solving. Heading up the Mead team, Mead Lumber, on the way to the industrial park, East 39th, cleverly located beneath the big red Mead Lumber sign.
School basketball action comes your way this week on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. The Fort Kearney Conference Tournament is right here on ESPN. Thursday in the girls' semifinals, Elm Creek plays Overton and Amherst takes on Eustis Farnham. The boys' semifinals Friday, Overton plays Elm Creek and Pleasanton plays Loomis. And it's the Lou Platt Conference Tournament on Classic Hits 98.9. Thursday the girls, Centura battles Ord, Kearney Catholic takes on Ravenna. Friday the boys, Ravenna St. Paul, Kearney Catholic Gibbon. It's all right here.
Partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature around 59. Winds out of the west, meanwhile, stay from 5 to 10. With clear skies and light winds, tonight we'll dip back into the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now it's 45.
It always is. Doug and Daddy Show here at the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. Glad to have you along with us. Midway, Chevrolet, Buick, Cadillac, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram. You can get all of those and more at their two locations on South 2nd Avenue. Their new inventory changes daily, so if you don't see something that you want today, well, it could be here as soon as you want it because they take care of you. Online credit application is available at thinkmidway.com. You can get so much done before. It's so much different than the old days when you were just scared to death to go in and try and get a car because you knew you couldn't walk on the lot without somebody tackling you. What do you want? You can walk on the lot and say, I've been on your website. I'm already financed. Here's the vehicle I want. I see it's right there. Let's do it. Because it's
a lot of goes.
Well, it's hassle-free pricing. It's just that simple. It is so simple anymore. And at Midway, they want you to be a winner as well. Have some fun while you're watching the Super Bowl. Log on to thinkmidway.com. You can put up the interactive Chevy app as well on your smartphone and be a winner from Midway, from Chevrolet. You can play along, commercials, polls, trivia questions throughout the time, give you a chance to be a winner this Super Bowl Sunday. It's going on with the Midway Auto Dealership and thinkmidway.com. Hassle-free pricing every day. They're there for you at Midway. Again, we are here on National Letter of Intent Signing Day. John Tallman of Husker Online is going to join us here momentarily. He was at the Aaron Curry announcement. He picks Nebraska. Alonzo Moore picks Nebraska. Devian Shelton picks Southern California. So that really kind of leaves Andres Pete and Vincent Valentine tomorrow.
Raymond Ford, by the way, for fans out there that, you know, read publications this weekend that was interested in Nebraska, he dropped Nebraska off his commitment or his, one of his top teams, I guess. It's down to Cal, Utah, and I think maybe SMU or somebody, but Nebraska's no longer on his radar. So if you're not hearing Raymond Ford names, that is why. We understand also Thomas Brown is now in. So everybody of the 14 guys that were locked up initially are all in right now. They're waiting on Vincent Valentine and Mr. Pete.
Tony, what are you talking about? Well, oral commitment is exactly that. Until you have the signed piece of lawful documentation in front of you, you can't talk about the kid to the public and you can't do anything. Remember, Bo Pelini is expected to have his press conference. He will have it at 2:30-ish. We will have it here for you on the Doug and Daddy Show, well, on ESPN Radio, actually, later this afternoon.
Many, many, many rumors swirling this morning about Andres Pete going to Stanford, which would be a huge shock in Husker land. And because his cousin here is here in Mr. Moss, and his brother is already on the team. That would be a shock, and that would be blow to Husker Nation.
That would put a huge damper on the day that has went fairly well. And John Tallman from Husker Online. John, we don't have a special song for you. We just like to get into the information. Is that okay?
Absolutely, guys. It's one of those days we kind of just need to get down to it, I guess.
That's right. You had a chance to get up this morning after those luxurious accommodations there in Keller, Texas, and see Aaron Curry. And, of course, I think reading the blogs and everything that you were putting up on Husker Online, it's like what they do at Kearney. You've got all the kids there at once, so you may be signing a NAIA tennis scholarship, but you're right next to the kids signing a Division I football scholarship. What was the atmosphere like this morning?
Oh, it was interesting. You know, it was one of those things that, you know, Aaron kind of had a sly smile going on, and, you know, we walked in the door, and I think there was a coach or somebody else that was wearing a red polo, and one of the coaches joked, why are you wearing that? He goes, oh, I just thought I'd wear red today. So I think Aaron had kind of let some people know around him that's where he was going to go, but, you know, he came in, and there was he kind of started, and the kids signed or kind of did their, you know, the fake signing just for photos and stuff. And Aaron was sitting there without a hat on, and no one knew who he was signing with. And then all of a sudden somebody shouted out, why don't you go get a hat and tell everybody? And he went out and pulled out the Iowa and Nebraska hats and then put on the Nebraska hat. So it was fun. It was, you know, I think a lot of us were wondering when he was going to announce after it started. But I think he's a big pickup, a big defensive lineman. He wants to probably get in that 290 range. He's pretty close right now, about 280. Even though he's listed, it's, you know, some places close to 300. I think he's about 280. He's played defensive end. He's played defensive tackle. He's a pretty versatile guy inside. I think you can do a lot of different things with him just because of his athleticism and his power. He likes getting after the quarterback. So I think he's a guy in pass rushing situations. He's definitely the type of defensive tackle you want.
Was Bo Pelini hiring, we call him Coach K around here, and getting him from Iowa staff, was that the nail in the coffin that Nebraska needed to lock this lockup or to lock this recruit up?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I think he was impressed with Coach Tim Beck, who is his area recruiter that recruits the Dallas area. But when Coach K came over from Iowa to Nebraska, I think that was a big deal. They had already formed quite a bond. And, you know, after he made his announcement, we all watched him pick up the phone and call Coach K and tell him that he was coming. So, you know, I think those two are really close. Obviously, it's good in recruiting to have your position coach be so close with you, you know, and I think that was a big key.
Alonzo Moore has since made his signing. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, big pickup, guy that can do a lot of different things. He actually showed up to Nebraska three times for visits, twice unofficially, meaning on his own dime, and one of those unofficial visits was for a camp, and then obviously he showed up for a game. But he's done a little bit of everything for Winfield. He's played some quarterback. He's been a guy that played wide receiver, defensive back. He's returned kicks. He showed up in Nebraska's camp, and according to what his coach said, he had some of the best feet they'd seen in terms of the midline option game when they were running some drills with that. And that's because that's a lot of what he did run at the high school level when he was at quarterback. But he just does it all. He's a guy that is just really explosive, rushed for 1,700 yards. He got his team all the way to the state championship when they inevitably fell to John Curtis. But, you know, at that state championship game, I heard a couple people in Louisiana call it the Alonzo Moore Show. So he's done so many different things. For Nebraska, he'll be a corner, it sounds like, which I think is a huge need with Davion Shelton, the late guy that everyone was waiting on, him going to USC after getting that late offer. That gives Nebraska two corners in this class, one in Mohamed Cisse, who's already on campus, kind of getting his feet wet in the program. And then now you bring in Alonzo Moore, who's so athletic. I think his relationship with Corey Raymond was also key. Keeping him, you know, and getting him out of the state. Because I think there was some concern late about Louisiana Tech maybe convincing him to stay home. And, you know, Nebraska kept pushing, and a lot of credit goes to Corey Raymond. He was the one who sealed that deal up.
Concern late seems to be the thing going on right now with Andres Pete, John. You're hearing the same things we are, I assume, about him going to Stanford. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I mean, I hear a lot of it. You know, it's one of those things that you know, you don't really know. I don't know if anybody, you know, and so I think right now from the vibe we're getting, we've got a guy down there on the scene, Greg Peterson, who's doing a great job kind of giving us some updates of the scene at Corona del Sol High School. And so I think, you know, I think everybody's in wait-and-see mode. I don't think anybody knows right now for sure what he's going to do. There's a lot of rumors. There's a lot of talk about Stanford. I think some of that is some assumptions, but maybe there's something to it. But I don't think really anybody's going to know for about an hour here. I think this will go right down to the wire. And if he has called the coaches and told them one way or the other, I think it could be happening as late as now. I think it's really a pretty fluid situation.
Devian Shelton chose USC within the last half hour, and then really Vincent Valentine's the only kid left here that is on the Nebraska radar. What are the odds that he comes to Lincoln?
You know, I think with Vincent Valentine, I think Nebraska's always been in that driver's seat. There was a lot of false rumors about Florida. That was a school that a lot of people were saying that, you know, could have come in and sneak and get him in the end. I never thought that to be reality, especially when you go back and look at Vincent Valentine's process. Here's a guy who wanted to play in the Big Ten because he wanted his parents to see him play. Can't see his parents putting him on a plane to Florida if that's really, you know, what he wants to do. So this was always about Nebraska and Illinois. I think Illinois tried to make a hard push late, maybe got him thinking a little bit. But after his Nebraska official visit, which was after Nebraska's season, he left Lincoln with Nebraska as the clear leader. And almost farther ahead than they were maybe even a couple months, you know, prior. So his relationship with John Papuchis was the key. They got to know each other really well. Papuchis has been recruiting Valentine for months and months and months, and it's drug on to this point. But, you know, I'll be shocked if it's anybody but Nebraska here at 1 o'clock.
John, we've got an email here, wants to know Quanzel Lambert. Any news on him?
Sounds like he's going to Rutgers. I think the plan was he might have delayed his announcement or his signing, but as of right now, he's headed to Rutgers, and I think that's kind of where he wanted to be all along. And from what I heard, his parents were encouraging maybe to look around a little bit, but I think he just wanted to stay home. So I think that was really the big deal and why he just chose to go ahead and get it over with.
John Tallman of HuskerOnline.com joined us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He was at the Aaron Curry signing in Texas this morning. We've had a variety of analysts on, as we always do, John, and I've kind of posed the question to most of them. Nebraska, and many people believe, they can't compete unless these walk-ons every single year contribute. Right now there's 18 of the preferred walk-ons. Who's the get of the class?
Boy, that's a tough one because I love the walk-on class, guys. I think they did an incredible job, and, you know, hats off to Jeff Jamrog and all the people that were a part of it. I think you got to start out of state just for the simple fact that you got a guy like King Frazier, a 6-foot, 200-pound running back from Missouri who had a big season, and you know, it's one of those things. It's pretty amazing that he's going to walk on. He had some late interest. Some schools were going to offer, you know, possibly late. But I know some lower-end schools were offering scholarships. But I think he's a guy, if they're looking for a big back or a guy to really, you know, do a lot of different things in their offense, maybe play some fullback, maybe he stays as a big back. You get a Monty Cross on scholarship, then you get King Frazier. I think that's huge. I like the Burke duo of Jordan Nelson and Carson Collins. Obviously, everybody knows about Riker Fife, and I think he's got a great potential at Nebraska. Maybe adds a different element to that quarterback room, just because of his ability to throw the ball rather than be a guy known, you know, maybe as an athletic, dual threat guy who maybe needs to continue to work on the passing game. So, getting Riker Fife and Tommy Armstrong, two guys who can throw the ball very well in this class, one being a walk-on, one on scholarship, I think that's huge. But, I mean, there's a lot. Andy Janovich from Gretna, I think, was a big pickup, the big 6'1", 210-pound fullback. He's kind of that traditional guy that you see coming out of Nebraska wanting to play fullback. He's a hard-nosed kid. I think, he's a big steal. Sam Foltz, Dylan Utter. There's so many guys in this class I really like. I think it's, you know, one of the better walk-on classes that I can remember since I've been covering this.
John, would you like to publicly apologize to the UNK coaching staff for the kids that Nebraska stole?
Hey, I didn't do it, man. I'm just covering it.
Well, we understand it's a great – that's what everybody has been saying, how well, you know, if these kids come to Nebraska without scholarships, and the quality of talent is – people are just shaking their head at this walk-on class.
It is. It's amazing. You know, I thought, you know, just early numbers, you think they're going to take a class of 12 to 15, 16. You don't anticipate 18, you know. And I think when they, you know, then they get a kicker in the class, which obviously they've had a great track record with walk-on kickers from in-state, you know, and Spencer Lindsay joins that. You go through the list, and these are guys that were very productive at the high school level. These are not guys that, had injuries or you didn't know about them. I mean, these are all guys that played, you know, pretty high-level football in state. And that's pretty amazing that those guys were all willing to turn down, some of them, several options to walk on at Nebraska. So, like I said, hats off to Jeff Jamrog and the Nebraska coaching staff that really worked the walk-on trail because they got a good class here.
John, follow up on that because people are going, okay, I know Jeff Jamrog, but he's not an assistant coach. Explain to the folks how Jeff – what he does do to get these kids signed up.
Yeah, I think he oversees it, you know, and I think, you know, as an in-house role. And the thing I think a lot of people don't realize about what makes a great recruiting staff is not just your assistants, but it's the people in the office doing the day-to-day work of, you know, keeping track of things. And hats off go to the entire recruiting staff, guys that are working up there that are kind of overseeing in-house recruiting items as they are. So, you know, it's one of those things where it's not like an assistant goes out and actively recruits guys, but when they come to campus, obviously they had a huge walk-on day, you know, and on a Sunday after one of the final official visit weekends. And that was huge for the kids to be around all the coaches, but obviously, you know, that oversight by Bo Pelini and Jeff Jamrog and the people that kind of handle the in-house duties in the big junior days, or the walk-on days as they're called, I mean, that was huge. I think that was a big reason why they put together this class.
John, last question I have is, you've got basically the class now. Are they all eligible?
Well, there are some guys that have work to do. Jared Offalava has some work to do, though it sounds like people around him, from what we've heard, feel pretty confident he'll make it. Same goes for Alonzo Moore. You know, he's got some work to do. I spoke with Andy Piles, Alonzo Moore's head coach, about an hour ago. He feels confident that he'll make it. I talked to somebody in Louisiana as well that was more familiar with his academic situation, and from that source, what he told me was, Alonzo's really turned the corner academically, and he's really put in a lot of good work. And his coach says he's not as far off as, you know, maybe he was a while ago. So there's some guys like that that are still working on it. But overall, you know, the majority of the class is in real good shape, and I don't think there's any major red flags here.
Hey, John, what time does Bubba Starling sign?
Last year? I think he's playing baseball, boys.
Oh, my goodness, my goodness. John, we'll let you get back to work. We appreciate the time here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and safe travels.
Thanks so much, guys.
Take care. John Tallman, HuskerOnline.com. Check out all of their coverage. They're right there for you on every commit. And we have been going through our Husker recruiting updates brought to you by TNL, your T&L Irrigation Systems. Choosing the right recruit for Nebraska can be a difficult decision, but choosing your pivot system, well, with T&L, the choice is simple. The T&L system provides a safe, hassle-free, and reliable hydrostatically powered pivot for continuous movement and even water distribution. Find out how easy the choice is yourself by contacting your nearest TL dealer or by going online at TLIRR.com. T&L Irrigation Systems, it's proven technology that works. Coming up, Spencer Lindsay. He signed with the University of Nebraska, and he will join us, plus Brady Bonzel on our Loper link. All that and more coming up after this.
Hey, big guy, what's with all the penalty flags?
I'm getting ready for the biggest Sunday of the football year, and this year I'm not tolerating the kind of behavior that went on around the food spread last year.
What are you talking about?
Well, for example, last year, first quarter, Liam fishes a juicy Johnsonville brat out of the brat hot tub without using the tongs or a fork or anything, and I just let it go. This year, that's illegal use of the hands, resulting in a 10-minute food penalty.
Oh, that sounds rough.
Remember when Stats cut in front of me going for the classic Johnsonville Italian sausage meatballs?
Of course. You threatened to, quote, pull him up to Wedgieville. To be fair, Golic, it was your fourth trip through the buffet.
Doesn't matter. This year, that's encroachment, 5 minute, and loss of seat.
Wow. I also recall you having a reaction to my taking the last Johnsonville better with cheddar right around the 2 minute warning last year.
Don't think I haven't forgotten, Greeny. Try that this year, and it'll result in ejection, possible fine, and indefinite suspension.
Understood.
Take your game day party from good to great with the full, juicy flavor of Johnsonville sausage, made with only premium cuts of pork since 1945. Find recipes at Johnsonville.com. Johnsonville sausage is all we do.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. At Farm Bureau Financial Services, our approach to insurance is simple. One policy for your home, cars, motorcycle, all your toys. One premium for simplified billing. One deductible for all covered possessions damaged in a single occurrence. All handled by local Farm Bureau agents Matt Myers and Rich Peters. See how simple insurance can be. Call Matt Myers and Rich Peters in Kearney at 234-4922. That's 308-234-4922 today. Farm Bureau Members' Choice Policy issued by Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company and Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through Equitrust Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature around 59. Winds out of the west, meanwhile, stay from 5 to 10. With clear skies and light winds tonight, we'll dip back into the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 45.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Before the end of the show, we're also going to give you a chance to win a pair of tickets to the Monster Truck Winter Nationals and Thrill Show going on Friday night at the Heartland Events Center in Grand Island at 7:30. So be listening. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets before the end of the show. Let's go to the Dent Popper inbox, and then Spencer and Lindsay is going to join us. Something that contributes to guys walking, willing to walk on is how cheap in-state tuition is and the grants and scholarships available. Talking about kids that are walking on at Nebraska.
Well, you know, hopefully some of these kids get some help, so don't have to go through, get out of college with all the student loans and whatnot. But, yeah, I think that'd be an advantage. But you got to remember, a lot of these kids are turning down scholarship offers, turning down, you know, whether it's a full or partial, some of them turning down $10,000, $15,000 a year.
Well, Spencer Lindsay has already proved that he can make kicks at Foster Field, so now he's going to try and make kicks at Memorial Stadium. And Spencer is one of the 18 preferred walk-ons that we know of at this time that signs today, and a handful right here in central Nebraska, and just had his signing ceremony up at Kearney High, and he joins us this morning on the Doug and Daddy Show. Spencer, good morning. Congratulations.
Hey, thanks, guys.
Great to have you on the program. It seemed like this kind of happened real quick for you, although you had made a visits to Nebraska. People can watch the video of you online and hanging out at Husker games. When did this all become pretty serious that Nebraska was really interested in you?
My first contact came with them during the summer at the Husker kicking camp. That's where I met Coach Papouchis and kind of got to know him a little bit. And that's kind of how the relationship started.
Okay, when they invite these kickers in, how many kickers at the Nebraska kick? I mean, the elite kickers at the kicking camp.
I'm sorry, how many kickers what?
We're at that camp.
I would say there's around 50, maybe. There was majority in-state kids, and a lot of them were juniors and seniors, but there was a few kids from California and Arizona, but I'd say there's around 50 or so.
Spencer Lindsay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Were you the best, Spencer?
I don't know. I'd say that's a tough question. I definitely feel like that day I had a really good day, probably one of my best days of the summer. Probably one of the best days of the summer, and I feel like those 2 days were probably two of the best days I had all year.
Does it help having people right in our backyard here, like a Kyle Larson, like a Brett Maher? Can you talk to those guys to kind of let you know what's going to go on, how it's probably going to take a couple, 2-3 years of waiting around to get your opportunity to get on that field?
Absolutely. You know, I'm in a great situation here. Growing up in Kearney with greats like Kyle Larson and the late Brett Maher, and, just talking to those guys and getting to, kind of get their input on what they went through and, there's really no one better to talk to since they're going through, the exact same thing that I'm going through right now. And, talking to Kyle and Brett was definitely very big for me.
Spencer Lindsay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. He's going to Nebraska as a place kicker. Can you share with us what maybe one of the two nuggets were that one of those guys told you that really stuck out in your mind as you made this decision?
Talking to Brett, he just kind of said that, he was there for 3 years before he got to see the field, and, he was a holder as a freshman and sophomore, and he said that, even when he wasn't on the field, he still enjoyed it. He still enjoyed kind of being around the rest of the guys on the team, and he said that you just got to work for everything, that, being a walk-on is obviously, pretty risky, but, you just got to work for everything and take advantage of the opportunities that you're given.
Did you ever say no? You gave Bondi a scholarship, and I'm better than him. I want one.
That never really came up. Obviously, Morrow, I kind of saw him last year, and, he's obviously a very talented kicker, and, sometimes that's just how it is. If you're a kid from Nebraska, all they offer you is the walk-on, and if you're willing to take it, then, that's what you got to do.
Spencer Lindsay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. He has signed a walk-on at the University of Nebraska. Spencer, for the folks out there, you're more than just a kicker. I mean, you've got speed. You can haul in the ball. Did you ever consider doing something else besides being a kicker? And were there some other places that were going to give you that chance?
somewhat. I talked to, like, maybe the schools that I talked to early on, some more D2 schools like Fort Hays and stuff like that were talking about playing a little bit of safety, but when it really kind of came down to being serious with Northwest Missouri and North Dakota State and Nebraska, the only position that we talked about was place kicking.
Spencer, you had three of your teammates, Trey Anderson, Grady Donahoe, Tony Genegis, signed this morning. Trey's coming to UNK, but Grady and Tony are going to Fort Hays State. What's the what's the connection there?
You know, I don't know. You'll have to ask them. I'm obviously, you know, extremely happy for them. You know, Trey's a great athlete, and I think he'll do really well at UNK. You know, that's a team that's going into a new conference, and they're going to have a bunch of new challenges there. And obviously, they're going to be joining Grady and Tony down there at Fort Hays. And you know, obviously, I know Zach down at Northwest, so it's you know, going to be very competitive in the MIAA in the next couple of years, and there'll definitely be a lot of Kearney kids on the field.
Well, Spencer, we'll let you go because I know you're just dying to get back to class today. So we'll let you roll on out of here, and we appreciate you giving us the time on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we look forward to following your Husker career. Best of luck.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
You bet. Take care, Spencer. Lindsay, we've had a chance to talk to most of these kids. We'll run down a couple more of them. We got to get Fulte back on here and maybe run down Garrett Johns. We've talked to Mike Schaff and Drew Ott and Riker Fife, who committed right here on the Doug and Daddy Show, and we appreciate that. You know what? Riker also is getting a lot of love, not just from Tallman, but to everybody we've had on. Brian mentioned him right off the gate yesterday. But Spencer, that's the one thing. If you can kick, you can kick. I mean, you don't have to develop as an offensive lineman. You don't have to grow into your frame. You don't have to lift weights at the rate that they do. I mean, they will continue to do all of that.
That's a huge advantage to getting on that field down there, that position. And I think a position in the line. You can develop. They've developed several of them to be on the line. I think you're at a huge disadvantage if you're King Frazier. If you're the running back coming in, not on scholarship, you're at a huge disadvantage. This is my opinion. If you're Riker Fife, because they're going to bring in 4- and 5-star guys, they want to see their names on the depth chart. Do the coaches allow, whether you're doing really good or not, allow you to move up the depth chart?
Folks, 888-455-ESPN if you've got a question for us, or if you want to win Monster Truck tickets here in just a little bit. Also, you can email the program. We've had quite a few of those. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Saha says, could you say now that Dorian Green Beckham is not going to Nebraska, will that give us an in on the Ohio kid Roger Lewis? Doesn't sound like it, does it?
Well, we were never in on Dorian Green Beckham.
Yeah, I didn't think so.
No, I mean, that was – no. We'll ask about that other kid and try and get that answered for you.
Also, a couple of other sports notes before we take a break here. Article by Ken Hamilton in the Lincoln Journal Star today about Cash Kalkowski of Grand Island. They're moving him to first base.
Really?
Yeah, I thought they would utilize his speed in the outfield. Maybe Darren Erstad believes they got enough there, but of course, Erstad, a first baseman. You know, going to put Kalkowski over there, and looks like his pitching days are completely over, but we'll try and catch up with Cash as well before the season gets underway. The United Football League, that's never going to happen. UNK baseball team picked to finish 5th in the Central Region, and Chandler Clutie is a preseason all-region selection.
Good for him.
Hastings College basketball tonight. They play at Midland, 12:30. KHAS will have it. Games are at 6 and 8. Hastings women are 20th this week, but they've dropped 4 or 5, trying to turn that around tonight. The men have dropped 3. They're trying to turn that around. 4 GPAC teams are ranked in the top 10 for the women this week. And congratulations to Lexington. Anytime you can get a win this late in the season, they broke the streak, got off the schneid last night. The Lexington boys picked up a win. Kearney beat Hastings in overtime. Hastings has really given Kearney all they wanted. Moore beat them once. This one goes to overtime. And how about Gibbon and Riley Reinertsen? We had somebody call yesterday. They upset Adams Central. So Gibbon will play Kearney Catholic. Ravenna will play St. Paul. Gibbon took Kearney Catholic to a 1-point game just a week ago. Fort Kearney Conference boys, Elm Creek, Loomis, Overton, and Pleasanton. Nothing major there. Southern Nebraska, Sutton, Sandy Creek, Milford, and Centennial are onto the semis. Twin Valley, Shelton, Kennesaw, Deschler, and Blue Hill boys onto the semis. On the girls' side, No real surprises. Ravenna, Kearney Catholic, Centura, Ord, Move On, Loup Valley, Ansley, Arcadia, Litchfield, and Sandhill Stedford, and in the southern Nebraska, Sandy Creek, Milford, Heartland, and Fillmore Central all move on to the semifinals. Fort Kearney Conference, the remainder of the tournament's at the Vero Event Center here on ESPN Radio Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Lou Platt from St. Paul Thursday, Friday, and Saturday also will be on Classic Hits 98.9. Coming up, little Loper Link and Monster Truck Winter Nationals time. It's going on at the Heartland Event Center in Grand Island. If you would like a pair of tickets to Friday night's event at 7:30, be caller number 4 at 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. Caller 4 gets the tickets. More National Letter of Intent football talk after this.
Greeny, what's that hanging out of your back pocket?
Oh, my golf glove. I've been tuning up my game for our spring trip down to Myrtle Beach, South Carolina.
Well, I hear your short game is getting pretty good. Too bad it's off the tee.
Hey, hold on, big fella. I've seen your short game, and it's not pretty.
I'll tell you what is pretty. Those lush green fairways on over 100 Myrtle Beach area courses, some ranked among the very best in America. And this spring, there are plenty of incredible deals on Myrtle Beach golf vacation packages. For instance, Waccamaw's Golf Trail, located along Myrtle Beach's southern shores, offers 12 highly awarded courses for a memorable golf experience. Hit the trail, the Waccamaw Golf Trail.
Where else are you going to find a deal like that? And with affordable nonstop flights from over 25 cities, getting to Myrtle Beach is easier than ever.
Look out, Myrtle Beach, here we come. Start planning your spring golf vacation at WeGolfMyrtle.com and find out how you can win golf for a year and a round of golf with PGA Tour star Dustin Johnson. That address again is WeGolfMyrtle.com.
Myrtle Beach, it's where America goes to play.
Sunday, it's a rematch of Super Bowl 42 when the New England Patriots take on the New York Giants. Hi, this is Kevin Harlan. Join me and the rest of our Westwood One Dial Global crew from the Subway Fresh broadcast booth in Indianapolis for Super Bowl 46. Can Tom Brady and Bill Belichick win their fourth Super Bowl together? Or will Eli Manning and Tom Coughlin beat the Patriots again in the big game? Tune in to find out. If it's Super Bowl 46, it's right here
on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Partly sunny skies develop across the area today with a high temperature around 59. Winds out of the west, meanwhile, stay from 5 to 10. With clear skies and light winds, tonight we'll dip back into the mid-20s. I'm meteorologist Paul Tremblay. Right now it's 45.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation, back in the Midway Auto Group broadcast booth. Back to the Dent Popper inbox. Guys, I've never been more ticked off about a group of Husker walk-ons. UNK could really use a couple of those players in the MIAA. Well, yeah. Maybe they'll help the Huskers if they're that good.
You hope.
Tomorrow.
You hope. You know what? I hope if things aren't working out down there, that some of these kids come back to the area in a couple years. If you're looking at that depth chart and you're saying, I hope the coaches are honest with them, is what I hope.
Daryl Morris and Tony Harper, UNK and Hastings College football coaches, will join us tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show to break down their classes. Sean Callahan will join us again now that everything will be all said and done by the end of the day. Also, Stu Pospisil is going to join us as the Nebraska School Activities Association releases the high school football schedules tomorrow. And we'll pass along that information for you tomorrow morning and let you know. They're supposed to come out around 9:30 to the press, and so we will let you know as soon as we can who's going where and some of the highlights of that here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
It'll be interesting to see if they go back and the districts are set a little bit more evenly than some of them were set the last 2 years.
Well, the districts are already
well,
set.
I mean, the schedules are set a little bit more evenly, excuse me.
Hey, sports fans, you can analyze and watch all the recruiting on all the ESPN networks and have lunch at Cunningham's today. If you've had too much of, well, lunch in a bag, maybe it's time for a good lunch. A lunch that any sports fan would give two foam fingers up to at Cunningham's Journal, downtown Kearney. No better place to be if you want to catch up on your favorite sports teams, have a bite to eat, talk National Letter of Intent Day. Menu has something for everyone, from burgers and salads, gourmet sandwiches, pizza, French dip. The list goes on and on and on, and maybe get out of work early enough to enjoy their happy hour specials from 3 to 6. Big-ass beers, 2.5, along with all Wells for $1.50, and a large selection of small craft and micro brews available with the always coldest draft beer in Kearney. Cunningham Journal of the Loft, located 23rd Street on the Bricks in downtown Kearney. Time now for our Loper Link, brought to you by Charter West National Bank of Kearney. Let Russ Smith help you with all your lending needs. You have the reasons, we have the loans. And by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliances. Heck, you're probably working out on a farm right now. It's so nice, but don't waste the time when you get a blowout. They have free on-the-farm tire service. Check them out at GarrettTire.net. Well, the basketball team, they struggled a little bit over the weekend. The wrestling team, it's been almost a week since they went out to New Mexico and Colorado and won all of their duels in that. And now we're looking for some good things from the track team, who will send some kids. They've got a meet Friday. They will have some kids go to Lincoln on the weekend, and then the Charlie Foster is a week away. And Brady Bonzel joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show to talk about where they are with the indoor track and field season. Good morning, Brady.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Thanks for coming in. So far, so good?
So far.
Should be running outside, shouldn't you?
We were out on the outdoor track with pretty much everybody yesterday.
Yeah. Well, it's a beautiful time out there. We wish we could have this for the outdoor track season.
No? Oh, absolutely. Who knows what March and April are going to look like. Probably spitting rain, or it's going to get up to 100 degrees by April or something.
We talked with Mark about how he takes care of his wrestlers when you have this holiday break and everybody has to kind of stay in shape. What is your approach with your team?
You know, it's really hard when you've got some athletes who are in season. You know, if it's a distance runner, they've got three different competitive seasons, and so I really prefer that when they don't have to be in school, they can be home as much as possible. Now, they still need to be able to train, but if you look at all the sprinters and the jumpers and the throwers, they're in season really the entire second semester. So they've just got to be able to go home and get in as much work as they can. In a year like this, where it was 50 degrees the entire break, is a lot easier for them than, I don't know, 2 years ago it was 5 or 10 degrees every day and the snow was waist high around Kearney. So it just depends on the year, and you just have to take that into consideration when they come back at the beginning of second semester, that you can't necessarily expect to just pick up where you left off. But keeping in mind, you're going to be doing this till May, so to realize that there is an urgency, but to, as coaches, to still be patient.
Yeah, on that same note, when you're a runner, you run, that's what you do.
Right.
But is there a time you got to say, hey, we got to stop running to let our knees and our joints and just our body heal a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. There are recovery periods within the year. Having said that, I mean, the year does get long for them, and a lot of their injuries really are more overuse related. So there are things that we do. You know, our sprinters and jumpers, there are many weeks that one day a week, if it's sort of their recovery day, if say they went hard on Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday might be a pool workout. And we can get their heart rate up and actually have them work pretty hard, but no pounding on their legs. For the throwers, again, they don't throw every day. They don't lift every day. It's just, you know, they have easy days in there too. And the distance runners, they do have to run year round. We just have to have periods in there where they can be rested and realize that a senior is going to handle the whole process a lot better than a freshman is probably.
Brady Bonzel's with us on the Doug and Daddy Show on our Loper Link. Most, if not all, of the events that you're doing now are non-scored events. You're trying to get your times better, but at least it's against some competition. Explain to the general Loper fan out there how that is helping your team and what these events are like. There's not a lot of pressure, is there?
Right, yeah, there's a combination of events out there. Most of them are not scored. We did have one scored meet in December. That was really good. We had four Division II schools come in, well, us included in that four. But at this time of year, yeah, a lot of the meets aren't scored. As you noted, we've got a home meet this Friday with other people going to Husker Invite. Those people going to Husker Invite are people who are potentially national qualifying type athletes, or people who can really use that opportunity to compete against very, very good athletes. The quality of that meet's probably even up a little from in the past, because UNL is hosting the Big Ten Conference meet this year. So there are Big Ten schools who've never been to the Devaney Center. And so if you go look at their results over the last 2 or 3 weeks, almost every weekend somebody from the Big Ten is in there.
But that's fun for a Loper kid to get to compete on
absolutely.
That stage against those guys too.
Absolutely. I mean, I was looking at the online entries this morning, and you know, Wisconsin's men were national champs in cross country this fall, and they've entered a bunch of guys in there to compete against. So guys that used to, maybe a year ago or 2 years ago, they'd be seated 15th in their event. Maybe they're seated 28th and they're only taking 30, so I'm sweating bullets thinking, are they going to get into the meet or not? But assuming that they do, it's going to be great competition.
If you're a cross-country national champ, what's the long-distance events of indoor track?
Oh, they're primarily the mile on up, but even the 800, those schools will tend to have pretty good middle-distance runners. But there's other events, too, in the sprints and the jumps and the throws that are really, really high quality at that meet.
I keep seeing Marty Molina's name up there. He's been the RMAC athlete a couple of times here. You've had a couple other kids that are out there. Who's you mentioned to us before we went on the air, Matt Shipp might have a chance to be running in Lincoln this weekend.
Sure.
Who's been off to a good start for you?
Alan Osborne in the 60-meter hurdles set a school record the first meet of the year. Now, he's still going to have to – he may even have to improve on that time to get to the national meet. It's just amazing how many different events – and here's a guy who's a three-time All-American, actually. Marty Molina and Cornell Leffler in the triple jump. Cornell doesn't jump very often because of some sort of chronic injuries that he has. He sprints in most meets, and he's a pretty good 200, 400 guy for us. On the women's side, Jenna Isaacson, again, is doing really well. A freshman that's doing great for us is Nakia Smith out of Lincoln High in the triple jump. She's a 38-foot triple jumper. Maybe closer to home, someone like Shelby Hamilton in the 400 is doing really well for us.
I'm always interested. A 38-foot long jumper here, like at Nebraska, what would win that meet this week?
In a meet like that, it's going to be over 40 feet in the triple, probably for the women. So
Charlie Foster is coming up next weekend, kind of one of the marquee, obviously, when you look at the name or something like that.
Right.
It's the marquee. Give the fans a little preview of that.
Probably the most exciting part of it isn't even the meet itself will be great. The most exciting part is just the alumni who will be coming back. We're going to be presenting Dane Toby with a national championship ring from when he was national champ in the shot a couple years ago. The 91 and 92 men's cross country teams that finished second and third at the D2 national meet. Really the best series of years, about a five-year span there, where really what wrestling has done recently is probably the only thing on the men's side at UNK that can compare with the string of success that they had there in the early 90s in cross country. So those teams are back, alumni coming back from California and all around the country for that, just to be honored and for the alumni reunion afterwards. So we're really looking forward to that part of it.
Daddy, it's been football talk all day here because it's National Letter of Intent Signing Day. What's recruiting like for you right now?
Today's the first day of the signing period for us, too. In track, it can be a little bit different. In football, I think they have their signing for the year done at noon today, probably.
they hope to.
In track, yeah, we have some people that are signing today. I haven't checked yet to see which letters of intent actually got faxed in today. But, yeah, we've got some people signing today. But it really is an ongoing process for us that we hope to have a lot done by the middle of March. But sometimes you're still signing people at the end of the school year.
Thrower-wise for your team, we've had such a great lineage of throwers. Do we have people at that level now?
Absolutely. Jackie Zimke qualified for nationals last year in the shot put, and we expect to see her there again. Brittany Wynett, who's a senior in the shot put, not far behind. And then even a transfer from Black Hill State, who's originally from Sutherland, Lori Johnson, is doing really well. On the guys' side, Brandon Carlin is going to be throwing for us this weekend, and then also Kyle Glidden, who was a national qualifier for us in the discus last year. So both of those guys, Brandon and Kyle, have been national qualifiers in outdoor track, the hammer throw and the discus, but they're very competitive indoors as well.
What's a hammer weigh? The hammer throw, what's it weigh?
You're asking the distance guy that.
Oh, okay.
Brady's never thrown the hammer.
I've never picked up a hammer either. So I just...
A lot.
That's fair.
See, God, keep writing these down, Jeff, because all the times we have these challenges, we need things for Tony to do when he loses almost every single time that we make a wager on this show. Brady, anything else the folks need to know about the next two weekends?
No, I think we pretty much covered it. I appreciate the coverage from you guys.
Hey, best of luck, and always appreciate chatting with you, and hopefully the weather stays nice for the kids.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, Brady. Brady Bonzel joins us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, part of our Loper Link, brought to you by Garrett Tire, Tread, and Appliances, and Russ Smith at Charter West National Bank. Hey, we want to say congratulations to Dan and Ken. They are the winner of the Monster Truck tickets today. We gave away two pair because we could.
That was nice of us. Good job, guys. Enjoy the show Friday night, Heartland Event Center.
Give you another chance to win a pair of tickets tomorrow.
What else? We got another little Miranda Lambert's coming to town, Doug.
That's right. We're drawing for tickets tomorrow, so make sure you text it in today. You text the message "Win Miranda" to 90210, and you'll get a chance to win a pair of tickets to the concert at the Viero Event Center Sunday, March 18th. It's all right here, courtesy of the Doug and Daddy Show. So if you want to see, that's huge. Miranda Lambert, and of course, was it Jerry Neiman and Chris Young? Is that who's all coming in? I
mean, female vocalist of the year.
The rest of them pretty big, yeah. Big. I mean, yeah. like I said, when this came out, this is one of the biggest concerts that will ever be held or has been held at the Fiero Events Center. So if you want a chance to win tickets, win Miranda. Text that, win Miranda, to 90210 and do it today, because we'll draw out for the winner on Friday. And who knows, maybe they'll draw out at 9 in the morning. I don't know.
It should be interesting to see. Does Pete sign? Does Valentine sign? Those are the last two in the Nebraska recruiting class, and Nebraska's after.
We'll let you know as soon as it happens here on ESPN Radio, so keep it right here. I'll keep my butt in the seat. You go to lunch. Why don't you go to lunch?
I'm out of here. Let's do it.
Why wouldn't you? Daddy's going to be back tomorrow on the show as we talk UNK and Hastings College recruiting for 2012 with Daryl Morris and Tony Harper. We wrap up the Husker class with Sean Callahan of Husker Online, and Stu Pospisil, prep sports editor of the Omaha World Herald, will join us to talk about the high school football schedules that come out tomorrow. And we want to thank all the folks that joined us today, Loper Link with Brady Bonzel, and then all the football with Spencer Lindsay of Kearney High, who's going to Nebraska, also to John Tallman from Husker Online, and Mitch Sherman, national senior writer for ESPN.com and Recruiting Nation.
More Super Bowl talk on Friday. Mike Perenio, looking forward to that. A lot of football talk tomorrow. Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Enjoy the weather. Could be the last day of it.
Yeah, they said something about snow. What? 9 inches?
This February, though.
By the way, there is some big basketball non-conference going on this week. Kearney coach Scott Steinbrook talks about number one Omaha Central coming to town on Friday's show. We'll see you tomorrow at 11.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.